Hey guys, welcome to another week of Autastic. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and this is my buddy,
Graham K.
Graham K is still in the illustrious country to the north with the beautiful white north. How's Canada going, Graham?
Well, it's fine. Waiting on my green card, you know.
Nice.
Waiting in the mail.
Nice.
Hanging out. I'm, hanging out with my parents. Hanging out with Peter. It's good. It's good.
That's great. That's great.
I'm supposed to go bowling, but Peter had to do laundry, so couldn't go.
You gotta have priorities, man. Get your priorities mixed up.
I mean, literally, if he has laundry to do that day, we can't do anything.
Well, you gotta take the gotta take those clothes seriously.
I'm like, I'm here. I'm normally across the continent. You know, I'm normally in California.
Let me ask you this. He has a hard time with like time. Does he understand money? But does he understand like distance like that? Where you're like, I'm literally, you like point at the map and you're like, I'm over here and you're over here. How's it work?
Yeah, no idea.
Okay.
He knows it's in America and he knows America is a different country. You know, he's been there. He doesn't really understand. And another thing I was noticing that my parents and I were talking about is he doesn't understand. You can't rank things. So if you're like, which of these two beers do you like? And he's like, I like them all.
I like your go-to is beer, by the way.
Yeah, well, he likes beer.
I love it.
But like, what's your favorite movie? I like all the movies. He can't pick one. Yeah, and so little things like that, you know. He doesn't understand time either. Like, I'll be gone. He kind of gets that, but it does. There's no urgency, you know.
Right. Time's a linear construct, man. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we have a special interview this week. I want to get right to it because it's a bit on the longer side, and want to get to the meat of the interview. But this
by the way, before we do that, we should say this is Autastic. This is the Comedian's Guide to Autism.
Oh my gosh, did I not say that?
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're two comedians, if this is your first episode, and we both have autistic family members. Kirk has a autistic son, and so does his ex-wife. And we are going to talk to her. She's a lovely woman. And I have an autistic brother, which I was just talking about, obviously.
So if this is your first episode, I recommend starting a few episodes back. Just because this one we don't go to the regular format, and there's a lot of we're referencing a lot of topics that we just talked about, but you could start. I think episode 84 is a good one. Anyway, I would start a few back.
In this particular case, time is not a linear construct.
It's not.
It is very real. So start earlier.
So without any further ado, here it is. Here's the interview. Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and right here we have...
Oh, me, Graham K. Sorry, I caught off guard. I'm here.
Graham K. It's episode, what is this, like episode maybe like 87? So it's new. It's new to Graham, so he's still getting his bearings.
Yeah. What am I doing?
We have a special guest this week. We have JJ's mom on the phone, Lorena Smith, and we wanted to just talk to her a little bit and get her perspective because we've had mine a bunch.
Yeah, we've had yours too much. We don't have enough female perspective, mother perspective on this show. Because as you may tell by our voices, we're both men. And it's just nice to get the other perspective. And also, I've heard a lot about you, and a lot more about your son. So
yes, I'm sure you have.
Well, all good things, honestly. Yeah. Well, you know, Kirk is a he's a private guy in a good way. So, but which is one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the show, because you know, I don't know a lot about. You or how what's going on with JJ, because you're on the front lines in terms of JJ. You're in Sweden where he lives, and I mean, I guess, I mean, Kirk talks a lot about his frustrations and, you know, not being able to be there. And yeah. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with, you know, he can't help you. Maybe he feels like it's all on you. I don't know. He hasn't said that, but, you know, I've sort of garnered that because it's like basically talking to Kirk is like talking to like a grandpa from the 40s or something. he has two emotions. I like basketball and I'm feeling great. Kirk, you're crying. I'm feeling great and I like basketball.
Hey, I do like basketball.
Okay, Kirk.
If that much is true. He does like basketball.
Yeah. So, sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, it's a little bit different now. This is my first week home. Mm-hmm. JJ is, this is his, let's see, second week, I guess. No, third week. He's starting on his third week in...
At his new house.
At his new house, like it's a group home. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Honestly, he seems to be, I get to go to see him almost every day.
That's awesome.
He seems to be settling in a lot better than me. I'm having all kinds of traumatic problems here.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, we've lived with each other for 18 years and he just, the apartment's very quiet. It's very clean, but very quiet.
So maybe
you clean it once and it stays clean.
Yeah.
I know. Amazing. Amazing. This is what life is like for everyone. I love it.
Yeah. But it's interesting. You're saying it's traumatic. In what would cause it to be traumatic? I mean, I'm sure you're experiencing what a lot of other parents experience, called the sort of empty nest syndrome. But the apartment stays clean, and you're like, now what do I do? I'm supposed to clean it. Who am I going to take care of? Kind of thing. Is that part of it?
Yeah. It's a lot of like. My identity is so mixed up with JJ's. You know, I've been JJ's mom over everything else for so long.
Right.
That you kind of feel like, oh, what? Now what do I do? I don't know what to do.
Right.
And also there's a lot of guilt because you feel like, you know, you should be able to take care of your kids and they need you.
Right.
And so you push yourself. I mean, it's very draining physically, mentally, socially, financially, every kind of way. Mm-hmm. Trying to care for a child with special needs at home, but coming to a point where you can admit that you just can't do it, or you just really need help, or I think even JJ's case that this is something that was better for him. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to come to that point, probably for all parents, but it's different if a child goes to college, you know, they call you, they tell you, now our son is nonverbal, so he can't call us. And so there's a lot, you know, a lot of worry and guilt and
And I guess let's sort of, not to get heavy into this, but let's sort of, just, I'm an outsider. I think one of the reasons why Kirk wanted me to sort of commandeer this or run this sort of interview is because I don't have a son or a daughter that is autistic. My brother is autistic, but when you say things like guilt, I can't think of what you'd be guilty about. What is the guilt that you, and Kirk also always talks about how he feels guilty. What is the guilt that you, maybe you could just explain that for me.
It's just a guilt because you have this expectation, I guess, maybe from the way we grew up or whatever, that we should be able to handle this. You shouldn't, you know, find it difficult. This is your child. You need to care for your child. And so then there's a lot of guilt associated with that because you just come to a point where you can't. Can't anymore. Even if I wanted to mentally, and you know, now I waited way too long. I always do that and get into terrible situations where I'm forced to make a decision. But a lot of the guilt is just that you feel like a bad parent.
Because
you're not, basically, I'm always telling someone to tell me I was a good mom, you know, or I am a good mom. But I think that's basically underlying all that is just you feel like a bad parent.
Right.
You just can't handle your child.
One. Okay, off air, we corrected that that door that was creaking, guys. Sorry not to make it sound like a haunted autism story. All right, Graham, go ahead.
Yeah. So, well, I guess I understand how you could come to that conclusion, but I don't think that, obviously. I don't think anybody listening to this would come to that conclusion that you'd be a bad parent. I mean, I think it comes time with any... And I am not a licensed therapist.
I mean, oh, we know, there. Graham. We know.
but like, you can't possibly... Every kid needs to move on at some point and grow, you know, whether it's university or whether it's going to a different home to get better treatment. You know what I mean? The point of a good parent, your kid is happy and healthy right now. And that's because of you and because if you brought him to this point and you found him a good spot and all this. So you helped find him a good spot. It's you know, part that's because you're a good parent. I mean, and also... No, asking for help is part of being a good parent, I think, as well. I don't know. I think when I hear about where JJ's at right now, I'm excited for him and for you guys, too. I don't know. But I totally understand. I
think for it's different for parents with special needs. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just speaking from my experience.
Yeah.
That we, you know, because our kids need so much more care,
right.
That you just... bond with them, just not that I'm saying other people don't bond with it, but you have, I think in a typical family, you have, you know, a kind of a building up to that separation point where,
right.
You know, they grow up, they can dress themselves and they go to high school and they're independent and they're taking the car and then finally they move out and go to college or whatever.
Right.
Whereas for parents with special needs kids, we don't have that build up.
Well, there's no little steps. There's no those, you don't have those little baby steps.
Yeah, there's no steps there. It's like handing away your baby and saying you can't take care of them anymore.
That's a good point. I didn't think of it like that. It's true.
Right.
I have a hard time processing emotions, but yes, I think you're right.
Yes. Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We should have named this Kirk the Neanderthal of the podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. No, it's eye-opening to hear that perspective, and I'm sure that it's a perspective that a lot of our listeners have. I mean, a majority of our listeners are parents like you. You know, and I get that's the point of this podcast is to something an outlet that is sort of like Misery Loves Company, but isn't depressing because everything
Lo,
you read up.
Yeah, Lo, let me jump in here. So, like, so if you were to talk to other parents whose kids are going to go into or they're starting to think about transitioning their kid into a group home or something, talk about some of the. We've had some good experiences with some caregivers, and we do have a lot of people that are trained, like licensed ABA therapists, whatever, that listen. And so talk about some of the things that have been done that have helped allay some of your concerns. So like, so that the people that work with autistic kids would know how to talk to parents. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, starting the process, I think that you have to, sort of, there's not a one size fits all. Maybe one parent is ready to let them go in a month, and maybe somebody else isn't for a year. So I think as therapists, just to be encouraging. If a parent comes to you with that, you know, I'm thinking of putting my child into care. Just talk about it and talk about their fears. It's a lot. It's a lot of. Saying you're a good parent, this is the right thing to do. And then obviously just try to go see the place and bring the child to the place. And I'm not really sure how it works in the States, but and they do a lot of preparation in school here. When kids turn 18, in cleaning and just laundry, just normal things like that. So, I know, you know, that I know might that some be, you them, might make a list with your therapist in, you know, what the things that maybe would be good skills for your child to have, and, you know, start working on those. You feel a bit more comfortable when they're away from you.
I know some of the, I remember you had a conversation with the teacher, and then also with that super tall lady who ran that home that was right downtown, who was basically like, oh, he's going to be really happy. Yeah. And you remember that conversation and how that made you feel?
Yeah. No, that made me feel so much better, because she was telling us that it really is, he's at that age where he needs to be out of the home. It's a normal process. And keeping him obviously would not be in his best interest, because you're not able to give him the care that he needs.
Right. That was really, and also, that hit hard, that hit home, I think.
I think it's also that if you're you're still, he's still, you know, 18, you know, he's becoming an adult, and you're still his mother, and any 18-year-old, he still has anybody, he's been hearing the same message over and over again, and no matter what, whether the message is don't rip off your pants, or if it's, you know, finish your homework or whatever a normal conversation would be, you tend to tune it out.
Yeah,
you know?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah, that was the other thing she said. She, you know, once your child moves into a group home, you can learn a new way of being with them, because you're with them as an adult, not as a child.
Yeah. But
the entire time he's in my home, you know, he's my child. He doesn't know any other way to interact with me except the way it's always been since he was two or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
He's always gonna want to play with my dishwashing detergent, which isn't a problem in his new place. He's always gonna want to rip his pants off. Also, not a problem. Suddenly.
So he doesn't do the dishwashing thing anymore. The dishwashing liquid at the new place.
No. Perfect. He washes his own dishes.
Wow.
With the dishwashing soap.
Yeah, the
when
thing.
When I think of the thousands I've spent on dishwashing detergent.
Yeah, what he used to do, for the longtime listeners who don't know, he used to pour the dishwashing liquid all out and start the water and then try to make a giant bubble bath like a rave or something. Yeah. In the kitchen.
Yeah. I
fun times.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. So it's just interesting that no matter what your mental state or abilities are, you just tune out your parents. You know.
Well, I think there's a time for you to spread your wings a little bit too. And it's like, and get a little distance, and then you might appreciate your parents a little bit more.
Yeah. You appreciate your parents a little more, and you know, the human brain needs to hear a different voice telling them what to do, a different, I don't know. It's if it's the same, coming from the same direction always, it sort of spurs on your brain to work hard if you hear somebody else tell you in a different way. And it's just, to him, it's kind of like university. He is kind of going to university because he's learning.
He's learning a lot.
More to be an adult.
Yeah.
And it's great because you get to see him every day. That's really awesome.
Yes, that is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really nice, actually. It's very relaxed. I get to just enjoy him and not worry about food to make or laundry or anything like that. I just go hang out. The hours that I'm there, I just get to have fun with him, and
that's amazing.
Really nice. I really enjoy that part of it, because I feel like so much of my life, like I'm sure most moms, you know, we're always saying don't do this, don't do that, stop that, stop it, do that, do something else. And it's nice to just have that interaction with him. That's just enjoying each other. Yeah, that's really good.
So that what you said, Lorena, reminds me of what of my brother and my mother, their interactions is, you know, I'm home right now, and so I get to see my brother and my mother interact. And when he comes over, whether it be to help out around the house or come over for dinner or something, he can't wait to get home because my mother just micromanages him, you know, because she does that sort of thing that mothers.
She's his mom.
Yeah, she's his mom. And she's been, you know, micromanaging every aspect of his life way more than any other mother has to do,
right,
for a neuronormative child. You know, so every little, every little thing, I was like, your fork is, you're stabbing the plate too hard, elbows off the table. Peter, don't shoot with your mouth open. Peter, why don't shout, ask a question about. And so his whole life, as soon as he steps through the doorway, is someone telling him that he's doing something wrong and how to correct it. And he can't. And even though my mother is right and she's doing it because she's worried about, when she passes on, is he going to be okay? And, that's the root of it, really.
Yeah.
I have to tell my mom, Mom, just chill out, because no matter, even though you're right about these little things, he's going to tune you out. I mean, even though you're right, Lorena, I understand, and I don't want to pretend that I'm telling you what to do with your child, because obviously every interaction is completely different. But it just sort of reminded me of how maybe your son, needs to hear another voice, because my brother has completely tuned out my mother.
I think that's your phone, Lorena.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. People keep calling. Sorry about that.
It was nice to have a nice music to tell me when to stop talking.
That's our new theme music for the podcast, Autastic. Yeah. And we're running out of time here. We're at about 20 minutes. If you could mute your ringer, though, that'd be great.
You tried.
Sorry. No problem. Do you have any? We're very professional in this podcast. We'll figure it out eventually. Episode 184, I think we'll figure out. It's fine. No problem.
No.
Anything you want to add, Lorena? We're wrapping up here.
Yeah, if there's any sort of, other advice or anything you want to add, or, anything else you want to share?
No, not really. I guess for any parent kind of thinking about this, just to know that it's probably not going to be as bad as you think.
Right.
Just the whole process, and just, we as good parents, we have to plan for when we can't no longer take care of our children, right, because that day is coming. So, start thinking about it, and hope it's going to be good. I know there's good places, and JJ is in a very good place. I'm very happy about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that warms my little heart. it's exciting.
Me too. I feel something. Exciting. I don't know what it is. I feel something.
Yeah.
Sorry, I talked over you, Graham.
I'm excited for both you guys. I'm excited for JJ and and I think it's good advice. I think it's good advice. And I didn't know. I didn't. Thank you for sharing. I didn't understand the guilt associated with it. So I appreciate sharing that.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know it's probably not the easiest thing to talk about, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
All right. Well, that concludes our interview. Thank you so much, Lorena.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So that's it. What do you think, Graham?
Yeah. I was really appreciative that she wanted to come on, agreed to come on.
Yeah, it was her idea.
About this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. She's a really strong woman, very strong, and it's sort of, I'm glad I got to talk to her. Like I said in the intro when we first started talking to her, it's just good to get a female perspective.
Yeah.
Because, you're probably feeling a lot of the similar things, but you don't know how to talk about them because you're a man.
You're feeling the same, but you don't know how to use your words because you're an idiot, Kirk.
Nice to talk to somebody who is,
I did think she explained the guilt thing pretty well. Where it's like you don't have those little baby steps to show you, like, okay, it's going to be time soon. You don't, okay, he kid drives by himself. He does this by himself. He's clearly getting ready to leave the nest. And so, I thought that was a really helpful explanation.
Right. Yeah. No, I absolutely.
For you. For me, I was like, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's not sadness. Well, it's that. Yeah, that's funny.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was interesting. You know, I had to sort of, you know, it's, I it's hard for me in a way because I don't want to give advice to somebody.
Right.
You know, that I don't know anything about clearly what's going on. But I do feel like it's a new beginning. And you have to sort of think about it as like them going to university or going to college, yeah. You know, because he is going away and learning something.
It is the next step.
And becoming more independent.
Yeah, for sure. It's the next step for him.
Yeah. He's growing. And it's great. And it's exciting. And there's less stress in her life.
Even doing his own laundry and his own dishes is a big step. You know, that's what he's doing now.
That's amazing.
Yep.
You know what's funny is like 90% of college kids, when they go away to college, learn how to do laundry for the first time, yeah. Just like him.
And it's funny though, right? Because it's not like they couldn't before. I think you're just around your mom, you get lazy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like mom does it. So it's,
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, it was great. I thought it was great.
I think it was good. We really didn't do a weekend review. We'll do that next week. Guys, take a second to follow us on iTunes. Subscribe and rate, rank, review if it's a good one. If it's not, you can just burn this podcast. But if you like it, take a second to review it. We'd love that.
Don't burn it because you'll be burning your own computer or iPhone. And
That's an excellent point. You shouldn't just break electronics. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I'd like to see like a nice – like what's a book burning in this day and age mean?
It's a man filming himself pressing delete of his Uber app, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm deleting this. This is too sexist. He pushes delete. Boop. Okay. Take a second to follow us on social media, Kirk Smith Comedy, Graham K Comedy. You can buy my book online at my website, Kirk Smith Comedian. If you have a dollar a week, we'd love for you to help get behind us and support Autastic. It's at patreon.com/autastic. What am I missing, Graham?
Nothing. Graham K. Comedy at Kirk Smith Comedy.
All right, guys. We love you. You can do it. Have a great week.
Bye. Thank you.